Today I have Professor Lyons with us. Thank you for sitting down with us, or thank you for sitting down with me today.
Delighted to be here.
In Psych 101, the students learn about the different perspectives or subfields within psychology, such as cognitive, social, clinical, and so on. Which of these perspectives best describes your training or research area?
Mine would fall under developmental. That would be my area of specialism.
Mm-hmm. So could you tell us more about that? Like, what do you specifically research?
Yeah, so it's interesting because when I started out, I did, you know, just a general psychology degree like everybody does. And then I did a PhD where I studied children and children's understanding of maths problems, subtraction specifically. And that really got me interested in education and how people learn and how psychology can inform, you know, teaching and teaching methods. And then when I became a professor, I worked in teacher education for a long time. So I had a big focus on, I suppose, children.
Mm-hmm.
But then I started to focus more on the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm really interested in the area of emerging adulthood, which is kind of where most of our students are. Not all of them, but
mm-hmm.
most of them are kind of in that period of the lifespan.
So what drew you to emerging adulthood?
I think because when I was working with schools, I was trying to help schools with behavior management issues. And I guess I realized that a lot of that begins with the adult and
mm-hmm.
not necessarily with the child.
Mm-hmm.
And then because I was, you know, teaching at college level, and particularly when I came here to JMU, you know, I work a lot with students who are in their first year, whether that's, you know, younger students who are in their first year or students who have transferred, or maybe they're a little bit older, but they're still in their first year. And I suppose because those are the people I work with all the time,
of course,
I got more interested in them.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds really great. Can you give an example of an interesting finding from either yours or any research articles within your field that you thought was interesting?
Yeah, I mean, I think the finding that I'm finding interesting is it's a piece of research that I'm doing right now with one of my students. And to be fair, they found the article. And this is interesting maybe for your listeners because it's an undergraduate student who came to me because they were interested in research. And one of the areas I tried to research is, you know, how do we kind of engage students in the very large classes?
Mm-hmm.
And they found a very interesting article about attention
mm-hmm.
and how if you are seated next to somebody who is inattentive,
mm-hmm.
it has a negative impact on your level of attention. And so we replicated that study. The authors hypothesized that one of the reasons for that is that if you're sitting beside somebody who's not paying attention, you kind of assume or infer that the class is less important.
Oh.
And so you appraise that it's not important to your peers, and so you pay less attention. So we've collected data last semester, which would have been fall 23 and spring 2024, and we're finding similar effects in the classroom setting. So that's interesting for us in terms of maybe implications it might have. For example, I've been telling the students who participated in the research that, you know, if they find it difficult paying attention, that perhaps they need to sit beside somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, that's the most interesting one, I think.
That leads me right to my next point. Like, how do you feel your field or your findings interact or integrate with other subfields or research or other things like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think, you know, I guess we're all a little bit biased towards our own field, but I think that developmental is very interesting because it's really the story of how we become
mm-hmm.
who we are. And so it intersects with almost all of the other fields.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you look at biopsychology, you're looking at things like just yesterday in class, we were talking about menopause and how the hormonal changes of menopause can have impacts on the brain and how that affects things like, you know, cognitive energy and those kinds of things. Then, of course, it intersects with social in terms of the development of relationships and skills.
Yeah.
And then with cognition as well, in terms of like, how do you frame the world around you? How do you think about the world? So it's a fascinating field from that point of view.
I would definitely say developmental is one of the ones that I've appreciated or like grown to enjoy throughout my time.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give an example of an interesting application of your research outside of psychology?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think any of the research, as I say, that I'm doing on teaching and learning is very applicable really to, I think, a lot of stuff about self-management. So I also do some research on identity and identity development. And I guess I think it's applicable for my students as people to just learn about, you know, how they can manage themselves. And that I guess that they have more choice sometimes than they think they do.
The whole topic of free will, if it's real, or do we really have it or not?
Yeah, and I guess, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, there are things that, you know, you are required to do if you want to reach a goal.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you want to graduate with a psychology degree, you have to take X number of classes. But you still make the choice either to do that or not do that. And I think that's interesting.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. So, as you know, Psych 101 fulfills JMU's sociocultural area requirement for general ed, meaning students are expected to understand people who might be different from them and the importance of multicultural perspectives. How do you think about the role of culture and different society, social identities, or multicultural perspectives, like, add to your field?
Well, they add to it hugely. I think for a very long time, we've all been guilty of assuming that the path through to positive development, if you like, is the same regardless. Yeah. And I think more and more we're realizing that that's not necessarily the case. That there can be, for example, different parenting styles that are equally effective depending on, you know, the cultural context. That there can be different ways that we think about ourselves. The way we thought about that in Western psychology has been a lot about, independence and developing the self as an independent person. But actually there are, there are many cultures where the self is much more interdependent.
Yeah.
And that has very interesting implications for how we treat other people. And if we look at something like aging, for example, we can see, you know, cultures where interdependence is emphasized, you know, people are taken care of more as they age. So I guess that's one example. The other one that I'm finding more and more interesting is the idea that, you know, it's important to talk about culture, racism, discrimination, to talk about those things with children and adolescents. Because if one doesn't, you know, there are now, you know, a good number of studies that show if you leave a vacuum, children just fill in the blanks. So for, you know, a lot of times, you know, people would have said to me in the past, well, you know, children are very innocent, you know, they don't see color, they don't see, you know, but they do. And if we don't point things out to them, or if we don't help them to question, you know, they see inequality, for example, they see it happening around them, and they will just fill in a blank if we don't if we don't step up and say, you know, this happens and it's not okay, or help them to understand it at a level that's appropriate, obviously,
of course,
for them. So I think it's very, that's very important. And it's another place where the developmental piece kind of intersects with social psychology in terms of, you know, trying to help students to understand that, you know, all of us learning to take responsibility for how we interact with other people, and how things like confirmation bias, you know, are going to happen. They're kind of part of our system, and we have to constantly be checking ourselves, you know, against it.
It's like a constant, like, never-ending field where you're just learning more and, like, seeing from people. And just to go back about what you said about the children, that whole argument of kids are too naive, I want to keep them innocent, that argument seems like it no longer holds up, because, like you said, kids will make their own deductions or infer whatever, how they're seeing.
Absolutely. And I think for a long time, you know, the burden of doing that has fallen on, you know, families of colour. because white people haven't had to deal with it, right? And I think they're doing the right thing by adopting this kind of colorblind approach. That they think that that's, you know, being equitable, but actually it's not. It doesn't serve children well. Exactly. So I think particularly when you take us and we're, you know, in a predominantly white institution, I think we have to talk about that more and more.
Mm. Is there any way that you feel like as a professor you advocate for that?
I try to advocate for it in class as much as I can. Mm-hmm. In terms of sort of explaining, I suppose what I've explained to you and showing students the research results and trying to unpick things like, you know, ethnic and racial identity and gender identity, and just start to trying to, you know, pull out the different concepts, like differentiate gender identity from sexual orientation, for example. I've no doubt I could be doing more of it, but I do try to do it as much as I possibly can.
Just having the conversations and being purposeful about what you're teaching goes a very long way.
And trying to even, you know, show examples as much as possible and draw from examples that are not all, you know, white middle class heterosexual cisgender people.
Oh my gosh, I could go on and on with this for so long, but just to wrap it up, what advice would you give to yourself back when you were a student in Psych 101?
I think I would probably give myself the advice of asking more questions or getting to know professors a little bit better. And I think just really embracing all of the fields, right? I think I probably did a reasonable job of this, but like not to just say, for example, oh, I don't like that area, so not to, you know, sort of push yourself a bit to engage with all of them and say to yourself, I can learn all of them, right? I might have preferences because certainly if you, you know, go on to major in psychology, we don't keep the pieces of psychology as separate as we used to, you know, and that interdisciplinary work. Is really important. And I think it's really also, like, even if you're not a psychology major, you know, if you take something like sensation and perception, right, which seems really technical and not really relevant, but almost everybody works with other people. Mm-hmm. And so perception comes into it.
Exactly.
So I think that would be my advice.
Yeah, well, I totally agree. As someone that came from a freshman, I was just as open to everything out there. So I really hope it resonates with our listeners. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time today.
Great.
Is there anything else that you want to leave us with or anything that...
I think I would just say, I mean, that if you're talking, you know, people taking Psych 101, because I, you know, I teach Psych 160, so... It's a real spectrum of majors. And I guess my message would be there's something to learn for everybody. Totally. You know, you don't have to be a psychology major to get benefit from these concepts.
Exactly. I couldn't agree more. Thank you so much, Dr. Lyons.
Hey, you're welcome.